And we go right away into Mishnah Gimel, continue to discuss this case. Shalosh avanim shasan shnei kirayim. We have three stones that were turned into two stoves, like we just described. Nitmes achas min achitzayno. Let's say one of the outer ones became tamei. In other words, a sheretz fell in between A and B. So that means that stone A, which is the outer one, that's 100% tamei. Now I'm tsayis, the middle stone, that's B, that's used for both kiras. So I'm shameshes satmeya, tameya, I'm shameshes satahira, tahira. The part of the middle stone which services the tamei one, which means it's the first part of stone B, that's one that's facing A, so that's tamei. Whereas the part of stone B, which is helping the tahar one, that's the part that's also used along with C, so it's not makabel toma, it's tahar, because that's considered to be part of kira C, the second kira, so it's not Makabotoma. Now let's say Nitla Tahira, the Tahar stone was removed, meaning stone C, which is the one that's 100% Tahar, that was completely removed. So now for all intents and purposes, there's only one Kira, that's stones A and B together. So in this situation, the middle stone, B, now it's been decided that it's for sure part of the Tame one only, because there is no other stone, and so now it's 100% Tame. What about the other way around? Nitla Hatameya, let's say the Tame stone was removed, namely stone A was taken away, so we only have stones B and C, so that middle stone B now is clearly part of the Tahar one, so it's 100% Tahar. On to another case, let's say Nitmu Shtaim Hachitzoinos, the two outer ones became Tameh. In other words, we had a dead Sheretz that fell in between A and B and between B and C. So for sure, the two outer stones are Tameh, that's A and C. However, the middle one is not 100% Tameh. Im Hoysaim Tzais Gedoyla, if that middle stone B was very wide, Noisan Luzoi Kedesh Fisa Mikan, Luzoi Kedesh Fisa Mikan, Vashar Tahar. All we do is measure out Kedesh Fisa, the amount one needs to place a pot on top of, on this side and on that side, and the middle is tahar. So let's say, for example, this middle stone was 9 inches wide, and you only need 3 inches to place a pot on it. 3 inches on one side of the stone is tamei, 3 inches on the other side of the stone is tamei, but the middle 3 inches aren't tamei because you don't have to place a pot there, so they're not considered to be servicing any kira at all. However, m'haisakitano, if that middle stone was small, hakol tamei, so the whole thing is tamei. What about the following, though? Nitla hem tzayis. Let's say our situation where both of these stone contraption ovens became tamei, and the middle stone was removed. So A, B, and C are all tamei, but now the middle stone B was taken away. So im yachol ishvesala yari gedayla tameya. If the gap in between stones A and C is not so big, and one can still place a large pot on top of them, so it's still tamei because it's not like the stove was broken at all. However, hechzira, if that middle stone was now put back in its place, tahira, the whole thing is tahar, because when the stone was removed, it's considered like one kira, but now that it was put back, it's two separate stoves, and so that's a brand new thing, so it's not tamei anymore. Lastly, mercha betit, once that middle stone was replaced and it was smeared with clay, so mekabels toma mishiasi kenu kedei levasho les habeitza, it's now able to be mekabel toma once again once he fires it up to the heat the one would be able to cook an egg, like we had learned in previous parak. That's the temperature that a kira has to be heated up to in order to be mekabel toma. And we continue with one more case of this makeshift oven that was made out of stones that were placed next to each other. These stones were connected to the ground by clay, which makes them clay cheres. We're discussing when they became tamei, how to be them. So Mishadala tells us, we have two simple stones that are placed next to each other. They were made into a stove and then they became tamei because it's a sheretz fell in between them. But then he added on two stones to the original kira. We'll call the original kira stones B and C. And then he added an extra one on the other side of B. That would be A. And then he added on another one on the other side of C. That would be D. So he has four stones instead of two, with the original two that were tamei there in the middle. So Mishnah tells us, half of this one is tamei and half is tahar, and half of this one is tamei and half of this is tahar. In other words, the two new stones that were added on the outside, A and D, those are both tahar, and the half of stone B, which services A, and the half of stone C, which services D, that's also tahar because now it's considered a brand new kira. However, nitl tahiris, if the tahar stones are removed, meaning A and D are subsequently removed, so chazu elu tumasan, the original stones B and C, they go back to their state of tuma. And we'll go on to Parak Zayin Mishnah Aleph, hakolosos shebalabatim shenifchasa. Classes of regular people, they got ruined. Now, what are kolosos? So this is the plural word for kalos, which is basically an earthenware base for a kira. Sometimes their kiras, their stoves, were placed on the ground. Sometimes, though, they were placed on a base. And what happened to it is that inside it was nifchas. A hole was formed. The middle of it crumbled a little bit. It could be because since the fire was there, it ruined the charis a little bit. Maybe not. Maybe something else happened. Either which way, there's a hole in the floor of this kalos. So, if this dip, this depression, is less than 3 tfachim, it's okay to be mekabel toma because nothing happened to the stove. Why says that that's because you could still put wood in it, fire it up on the bottom, and the pot which is on top of the stove is still going to be able to be cooked. However, yasser mikan tahara, if this dip, this depression, this hole is more than 3 tefachim, it's tahar. That's because if you put wood, if you put a fire source inside the depression, it's not going to be hot enough to reach the pot on top to cook it, so therefore it's not really considered a functional kira. What about the following nasan evan or tsrar? Let's say in order to lessen this depression of 3 tefachim, he put a stone or a rock inside, tahara, it's still not makabel toma because it's not considered part of the base. However, mercha betet, if you then smear clay on it, connecting the stone to this hole is depression, thereby raising the floor of it a little bit. So makabel is toma mekanu laba, now the kira is able to be makabel toma from here and on because it's considered like a brand new kira. And actually, zuhi chuas Rabbi Yehuda betanu shenasan al pi abar al pi ados, this is what Rabbi Yehuda used to respond to the chachamim in regards to the oven that was placed on top of a hole or ditch in the ground. In Parakeh, we had this case where there was an oven that was placed over a hole in the ground. The fire was put inside the hole. Rabbi Yehuda said that the oven, the tanner, was only able to mekabel toma if when a heat source, when fire is placed inside the hole, it's able to reach the tanner and heat it up. But if not, it's not even mekabel toma, and he used this mishnah as the basis for his shita. So mishnah tells us dachain. What's a dachain? So it's basically a shelf that's jutting out the top of the kira. Once a pot's removed from the fire, it's able to be placed on this shelf, which has little walls around it to prevent the pot from sliding off. So this dachain, this shelf, shesh by base kibul kedei rice, it has this base kibul, it has these walls, it's able to hold onto a pot. Tahar mishum kira. It's tahar from the kira. In other words, it's not considered part of the kira. It's totally separate. So if the kira becomes tamei, this is still tahar. However, if it's mishum kli kibul, it's tamei because of its own kli. It's a kli kibul. It has a receptacle. Therefore, it would be able to become tamei on its own. Now, hatzdadin shaloi, what about its sides, meaning the walls or the lip of this dachan, of this shelf? So anagebahem enetam mishum kira. One who touches them is not going to become tamei because of the kira. For the same reason that we just said before, these walls of the shelf are their own entity. They're considered part of the shelf, and the shelf is not considered part of the kira. So therefore, even if the kira is tamei, if something touches those walls of the shelf, it's not going to become tamei. However, what about the following? Harachav shaloi, what about its width? In other words, this side of the shelf which is touching the kira. The reason why it's called the rachav is because it's usually wider in that spot. So since that's actually touching the kira, maybe that's considered part of the kira. Rabbi Meir Matai Rameir says, no, it's tahar. It's still not considered part of it. However, Rabbi Matame, Rabbi says it is tamei because it is part of it. And machin, we have a similar din. Hakaifas asalva isal gab of kira. If a person turns over a basket and he makes a kira on top of it, so the part of the basket that juts out from beyond the kira and that's used for placing pots on top of it has the same din as this dachain, this shelf we were talking about. Moving on to Mishnah Gemara with more cases. Kira shenechleka. We have a kira that was split in half. Now, for our purposes, we're just going to describe the kira as basically an oval with two holes in the top. That's where pots are able to be placed. And it got split in half. So it depends. La'arka tahaira. If it got split along its length, meaning cutting right through the long part of the oval, slicing it in half, meaning going right through the two holes, the places for the pots, so it's tahar. That's because it can't be used at all. We only have half of a spot for a pot. Al-Rachma was split widthwise, tameya, it's only makabel toma, and that's because it's just basically been divided in two separate smaller kiras. The two holes for the pots are still intact. They weren't cut through, so it's still usable. What about the following? Kupach shenechlak, a kupach, which is basically a kira that only has spot for one pot. Bein l'arka, bein l'rach by tahar, whether it was cut lengthwise or widthwise, it's tahar because it's not usable. On to another din, chatzar hakira, the chatzar, the courtyard of the kira. This is basically a whole area around the kira that was used for perhaps putting pots or whatever it is that were placed on the kira. You basically imagine just a large serving tray in the middle, you have a small bowl placed on top of it. So a large serving tray would be considered the chatzar hakira, the courtyard. Then the bowl in the middle would be the kira. So bizman shi gavaya shalosh etzbais, if the walls of this chatzar of the kira are 3 finger breadths high, metam b'mago ba'avir, it's metam b'mago ba'avir, it becomes tamei b'mago in its airspace. That's because it's the minimum height of a kira. We know the minimum height of a kira is 3 etzbais, and so it's considered to be part of the kira. However, plus mikan, if it's less than that, metam b'mago v'ino metam ba'avir, it's only tamei with mago, but not in its airspace. The question is, ketzad mishayar nesah? How are we mishayar? Meaning, how do we measure and judge the airspace of this chatzar akira? Let's say the kira is 3 tefachim high, but as we just said, the walls of this chatzar are only 3 fingers high. So where is exactly considered the airspace? The answer is Rabbi Shmuel Emery tells us, Noisen is a shpud mil malon maton. He takes a shpud, which is a spit that's basically a long straight stick, and he puts it from above to below. In other words, he leans the top of it against the top of the kira, then it's slanted diagonally downwards, and the bottom of it is now touching the wall of the chatzar. So kenegdoi, corresponding to the entire area that this spit, that is diagonal shpud, is covering, matam ba'avir, that's considered the avir. So for shevetz, for example, goes into that space, it's metame the entire thing. And the chiddush is, even though the source of tumah didn't go into the physical airspace of the walls of the chatzar, it's not corresponding to where the walls of the chatzar chatzar are, that doesn't make a difference. This is all considered the avir of the chatzar. Now realize when Akiva where he says nitmes akira nitmes chatzar, but nitmes chatzar lo nitmes akira. If the kira becomes tame, so the chatzar automatically is tame because it's considered to be part of the kira. However, if the chatzar became tame, that's not metame the kira because it's not considered to be 100% part of the kira in regards to that. However, the halacha is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And we're discussing this chatzar akira, which is basically a wide base that the kira is placed on. It's really meant to be somewhat of an extension of the kira for placing pots or whatever it is. And the previous mishnah, all discussions were about this chatzar akira, which was connected to it. However, now this mishnah tells us, ha'isa mefureshes men akira, let's say it was separate from the kira, wasn't connected to it. So as manshi gavaya shalosh etzbayis, if it's three finger breaths high, metame mago ba'avir, it becomes tame by touch and avir, p'chus mikan, if it's less than three, ha'isa chalaka, or smooth, so it didn't even have walls, that means it doesn't have a teich, it doesn't have an inside, tahira can't be makabel tame in the first place. Now let's discuss something else regarding the kira, pitpute kira. What about the legs on the bottom of a kira? Often legs were placed on it to lift it a little bit off the ground. So let's say shleisha shel shalosh etzbayis, we have three legs, and they reach three finger breaths high, metame mago ba'avir, the metame mago ba'avir, they have their own din as a kira. Pachas mikan, if they're less than that, meaning they're shorter than three, so kol shekanim tameim, for sure they're makabel tama, but filin arba, even if there's four legs, that's because they're literally part of the kira, they're less than three finger breaths off the ground, and they're connected to the kira, obviously they're on the bottom of it, so of course they're metame mago ba'avir. Now moving on to Mishnah, continue to discuss this case, nital lechen mehen, let's say one of these legs was removed, so metame mago, ve'in metame ba'avir, the other ones become tame mago, but not in their airspace, to Rami Elazar Meir's opinion, that's because even though the kira itself is still able to function on just two legs, nonetheless, the legs themselves are not considered the kira itself, so they're not metame ba'avir. However, they still will metame maga because they're considered like a handle of sorts to the kira. However, Rishim Matir, Rishim says they can't be kabel tome at all because he requires there has to be three, not two. Now, let's say also shnayim zekeneged ze. Originally, only two legs were put on this kira, and they're situated opposite each other, so the kira is able to stand perfectly fine. So metame maga ba'avir, they are metame maga ba'avir. To Rami Elazar Meir's opinion, where once again Rishim Matir, Rishim says that they're not makabel tome because there's not three, and there has to be three. Now let's say hayu gavayin mishal shetzbayis. They're taller than three finger breaths. So mishal shulamatan metame mago ba'avir, from three and downwards, they're metame mago ba'avir. In other words, those are metame mago ba'avir because they are there for the kira and they're part of it. However, mishal shulamalan from three and above, meaning anything beyond three finger breaths, metame mago, they are metame mago because they're really just an extension. But in metame ba'avir, they're not metame ba'avir because they're not an essential part of the legs of the kira. That's Rami Elazar's opinion. Where once again Rav Shimon Matir, Rav Shimon says that this part extending beyond three finger breaths is tahar because it's not part of it at all. But what about the following situation? They're extended away from the edge. In other words, it's not a leg that's directly underneath the kira. There's basically an arm jutting out of the bottom of the kira, and then there's a leg attached to it. So here we still have the same din. Within three finger breaths is metame mago ba'avir. Beyond three finger breaths, metame mago in metame ba'avir, the metame mago but not ba'avir. The Rami Elazar Meir's opinion, and Rav Shimon Matir, Rav Shimon is metahir. Now the previous mishnah we had learned that if their feet that are mashuch min akira, they're pulled a little bit away from the kira. Basically, there's a little bit of an arm sticking out of the bottom of the kira, if you will, and then that's where the feet are. So the part of the feet that are within three finger breaths of the kira, they're metame ba'avir, they're part of the kira. So the question over here is now, ketzem sharnoson, how do we estimate that area? It's not the entire circular area that's covered by those first three finger breaths of the feet. Rather, it's actually shaped like a triangle. So how do we do that? Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, he says, noisen es akana b'neihem, a ruler, that's what akana is. This ruler is placed in between them, min akana v'lchotz tahar, from the ruler and outside of it is tahar, min akana v'lfanim, kai makana tame, from the ruler and inside, and the place that the ruler is itself as well, that area is tame, and again, as we had said, that's shaped like a triangle connecting these 3 feet. It's only that area which is considered part of the kira, and it's asking metame ba'avir. Now moving on to parakhas mishnah aleph. Now we have learned that a source of toma, for example, a dead charis, which isn't even just the airspace of a kli charis, is metame it and everything inside. Now based off of the pasuk, the din is that only the kli itself and food or drink that's inside become tame. However, another kli that's inside it does not become tame. So we discussed a number of these details. Mishnah aleph tells us, hatano shechatzatzoi ben asarim abiriyos. We have this oven, this kli charis, that was divided into two with boards or with curtains, meaning placed boards inside of it, dividing it into two, and it could be that those boards even came outside the oven. So you're looking from the top, and it looks like two separate ovens. However, that's not considered chatzitza. That's not a divider, and really it's considered all one oven. Therefore, nimsa sharetz b'makam echad, hakol tamei. If there's a sharetz found in one of these sections, everything is tamei because it's not really considered a divider. Now, what about the following? Kaveres pechusa upakuka bekash. We have a kaveres, which is basically a wicker basket, that it's pachos, meaning it had a hole in it, and that renders it not a kli anymore, as we already know from earlier prakim, that if a kli has a large enough hole in it, so it's not considered a kli anymore, so it had this hole in it. However, it was pakuk. That hole was plugged up with straw. Umishul shelis navir atanur, and it was lowered into the airspace of the tanur. Now, the main opening of this kaveris, of this wicker basket, was either above the entrance of the oven, or it was even with it, meaning it wasn't totally inside the oven. Still, hasharetz b'seicha, if there's a sharetz inside this wicker basket, hatanur tameh, the oven and everything inside is tameh, and by the same token, hasharetz b'tanur, if the sharetz is inside the tanur, eichlin shebseicha tamein, food that's inside the kaveris is tameh. That's because, we said before, this kaveris is not considered a kli, since it has a hole in it. For all intents and purposes, it's really considered part of the oven. However, Reb Lezer metaher, Reb Lezer is metaher. If the sharetz is inside the basket, so food inside the oven is tahar, and if the sharetz is in the oven, so food inside the basket is tahar. And Reb Lezer, he explains himself, why is this? Because imitzila b'meis hachamor, if such a thing will save, it will prevent toma from going into it, when we're dealing with toma's mace, which is much more chamor, namely if we have a mace inside of a room, and there's this basket that has a hole in it, that's plugged up with straw, and the opening of that basket is outside the room, and there's food inside the basket, it does not become tameh. That's what we mean by hitzila. It's saved. Shouldn't we say for sure that this also causes the food to be saved when we're dealing with the kli cheres, which is a much lighter type of tuma? However, Amrulai, the Chum told him, if you want to say that, which is true, whether by the case of the mace, when we have a corpse inside of a room, the food inside this basket is saved. That's only because shekein chalken oilim, when we're dealing with an oil, we're just going to translate that as a room. When we have a room that there's a mace inside of it, and everything inside the room becomes tameh, still we could be chalik. We can split that room in half. If we have a divider that goes from floor to ceiling, that actually divides the room in half, and now only that which is in the same side as the mace is going to be tameh, but not anything that's on the other side. And that's why, again, in the case of the basket, we're also makel. But tatzel b'kli cheres hakal, do you want to say the same thing is going to apply to kli cheres, which is more makel? She'ein chalken kli cheres, as we said in the beginning of this Mishnah, kli cheres, an earthenware kli, can't be divided into two. Even if you put boards in it, whatever it is, you try to consider it two separate kalim, that doesn't count, and therefore this kaveris, this basket, which as we had said anyway, has a hole in it and it's not really considered a basket, is not going to save the food that's either inside the oven or that's inside the basket. Now, the previous mission, we had learned that when we have a kli cheres and a sharetz, for example, falls inside, even if it's just in the airspace, it's metame not only the kli, but also food and drink that's inside, but it is not metame a kli which is inside. And we had given an example of a kli which had a hole in it, and therefore, even though it's a kli, since it has a hole in it, I'm in the middle of that means it doesn't have the shame kli. It's not considered like a kli. Therefore, if a sharetz falls into the kli, all the food in the oven is tameh, and if a sharetz falls into the oven, food in the kli is tameh. However, says this Mishnah, Haisa Shlema, let's say the kli, this kaveris, this wicker basket, it was inside the oven, and its opening was outside the oven, or at least level with the opening of the oven. It was shalem, it was complete, and it did not have a hole in it. And v'chein akupa, same thing with a kupa, which is basically a type of sack, or v'chein achemes, same thing with a flask, which is usually made out of leather. So asharetz b'saicha, there's a sharetz inside it, atanur tahar, the oven is tahar, and also asharetz b'tanur. If there's a sharetz in the tanur, eichlin shebseicha taharin, food that's inside this container is tahar, because this would be a classic example of a kli which is inside a kli cheres. That kli does not become tameh, because only food and drink that's inside the kli cheres become tameh, not the kli. Now let's say nikavu, this kli that's inside the kli cheres got a hole in it, so it depends. If that hole is too small, then it's still going to retain its din as a kli, but if the hole is large enough, then it's going to lose its din of a kli, and then the tumah is going to go through it. That's what the Mishnah says, and we already know this from earlier in the Masechta. If this kli is meant for food, so then the hole it would have to get in order to be mevatel, nullified din of a kli, would have to be the shear of a zayis, of an olive, and also l'mashkin, if this kli is meant for liquids, shear b'mashkin, the shear is liquids, meaning if it has a hole large enough, that if it was now placed inside a bucket of liquid, the liquid would go inside this kli, so now it's not considered a kli anymore. And also l'kach u'l'kach, if it's made for both food and drink, metilin oisei l'chumroi, we go l'chumra, b'kindis mashke, the hole has to be big enough to allow liquid through, and that's not really such a big hole, for sure, when we're comparing it to the size of an olive, and then it would lose its din of a kli. Moving on to Mishnah Gimel, with a similar discussion, srida, shinasun al pi hatanur, v'shaykaz l'soichai, v'ein l'agapayim. So srida is basically an earthenware tray, and that's placed right at the entrance of the oven, set a little bit into it. Shaykaz l'soichai means it's set a little bit into the oven, so for all intents and purposes, it's considered to be in the oven, and it doesn't have gapayim, it doesn't have a frame, which means it doesn't have walls, and that makes it a kli that does not have a base kibul. So sharetz b'soichai, if there's a sharetz on this tray, hatanur tameh, the oven and everything inside is tameh, and hasharetz b'tanur, if there's a sharetz in the oven, eichlin shebseicha tameim, food that's on this tray are tameh. Why is that? She'ein matzilim yad kli cheres elo kelim. The only thing saved from the tum of a kli cheres is kelim, and since this is not considered a kli, because as we said, it doesn't have gapayim, it doesn't have a rim or a frame, so it doesn't have a base kibul, it's not considered a kli. It's just basically a flat piece of cheres, and therefore it has the same exact din as everything inside this oven. Now, a different situation, chavez shimalei amashkin tahirin, we have a barrel that's full of tahar liquid, unesuna lamata menechushta shel tanur, and it's placed below the floor of a tanur. We mentioned something similar previously, where basically there's a hole in the ground, ground, and tanur, the oven, is placed over that hole. And so over here, what's inside the hole? This chavis, this barrel that has liquid. And it's only the opening of the barrel, which is inside the oven, but the majority of the barrel is underneath the floor of the oven. It's in that hole in the ground. So sharetz b'tanur, if there's a sharetz in the tanur, hachavis v'mashkin tahirin, the barrel and the liquid inside are tahar, that's because they're not considered to be in the oven. And the same the other way around. Haisa kafuyo, let's say we have this barrel turned upside down, upil la'avir tanur, and its mouth is inside the airspace of the tanur. So a sharetz b'tanur, if there's a sharetz in the tanur, mashka tefech shebishulei hachavis, liquid which is still there on the bottom of the chavis, tahar, it's tahar, that's because this chavis is not considered to be in the oven. Even though the opening is in the oven, the majority of the chavis is out of the oven, so whatever's in the chavis is not tameh.